Lord Jesus, we praise and bless your name this morning. There might be someone here today that has felt like you're in a box. You've either went into that box by your own choice or you put there by your not your choice. But I just know today the Holy Spirit wants to release you from that. Whether you're running from God, whether you have been pushed down by others or experienced bad circumstances in your life, the Holy Spirit wants to release you. The door has been opened because Jesus paid the price and He gave His blood on Calvary to set you free. So it's time to walk out of that. It's time to step out in faith and be used by God. Lord, I pray that you would touch us with the power of your Spirit this morning as we come into your holy word. God, move me out of the way and only let your words of truth come forth. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just burn these words in our hearts, our souls and minds beyond what I can speak or say. Holy Spirit, we give you all the honor and all the glory this morning as you give it to Christ. Lord God, we thank you for not leaving us as orphans, but yet you've given us your Spirit. Oh God, I pray that you'd keep us in tune and in alignment with your Holy Spirit as we break open your Word today. Father God, we ask in the name of Jesus that you'd remove every distraction, everything that's going on, the busyness or things that are around us. And God, we pray, Lord, for a holy focus on you, that we get beyond the earthly realm to see you high and lifted up in your glory, in your splendor, in your honor. In Jesus' name. Holy, holy, holy
Lord, is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I'll sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Yes, Lord, we adore you this morning. We give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to take your seats and turn to Mark chapter 10 as the youth and young people, kids are dismissed for junior church today. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 46 to 52. And I'm going to talk to you today about faith that cries mercy. We're all in need of mercy, aren't we? God's compassion, God's relief from trouble in our lives. We're all in need of that. And as we come this morning, I want to read these verses, first of all, beginning in verse 46. And then we're going to go back and look at, you notice we skipped a section of Scripture. That is because at the beginning of this sermon series, we did that Scripture. Because in verse 44 and verse 45 is the theme of the book of Mark. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, but to give His life as a ransom for many. And as we launch into this text, we need to remember that Jesus now is transitioning from His ministry to the road that leads to the cross in Jerusalem. Thousands and upon thousands of people were following Him. He had been preaching and teaching, and now He was turning towards Jerusalem where He was to give His life. In fact, in verse 32, Jesus foretells that. He says that they were on the road going to Jerusalem, and He walked ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12, He tells the disciples, He began to tell them what was to happen, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn Him to death and deliver Him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock Him and spit on Him and flog Him and kill Him, and after 3 days He will rise." So that's the context leading into it. So now let's read verse 46. "And they came to Jericho, and as He was leaving Jericho with His disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And the throwing off of his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Is there an echo out there in the sound? I don't know that the sound is on. There might be some mics on or the piano mic or something. But faith that cries mercy. Now, before Jesus is entering into Jerusalem on that donkey to ride in where they were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, he was basically coming to this town called Jericho. And you remember what happened at Jericho when the children of Israel came in to take the land. Joshua led them around and the walls fell down and the land went to Israel. And so this town was 18 miles northeast of Jerusalem. It was 5 miles west of the Jordan River, and it was a winter place for the Herods, and it was called the City of Roses. Now, can you picture this? You have to see this. There's this great city. The Herodians and the Herods had fixed it up all fancy and nice. It was their winter vacation home. And they would go there. And the city was crowded at this time. It was springtime. It was a little bit cold out. And a lot of people were making their way towards Jerusalem for Passover. And so there was Levites also that lived in the town that they were waiting to go take their turn to serve in the temple in Jerusalem that lived in that area as well. And so whenever there was a rabbi, the rabbi would have his disciples. And they would follow him and the rabbi would teach. It was common when they would go in out of the city and out. So could you imagine at this moment, here comes Jesus with this loud crowd with him and he's teaching as he walks along. So that is the context that we're in. There's an unusually large crowd at this moment. And if I want to point out here in Mark, this is the last miracle that Jesus performs before he goes to Jerusalem, to the cross. Now, it was customary for those that had needs or that were deaf or were blind would sit at the city gate and beg for a few crumbs or for financial help and things like that. So there he was in his condition. He was wrapped tightly in his cloak. And not only was that a security to him, but it was cold out. He was warmed up with it. And he heard. I want you to notice the first part of that verse. When he came to Jericho and he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, there was a great crowd in Bartimaeus. And Mark goes out of his way. Now, there's a lot of miracles that happen where he didn't name the person. And the reason why Mark named this person, a lot of scholars believed that he was a pillar, became a pillar in the church in Jerusalem as we look at church history. So he mentions him by name. There was a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, he even gives his father's name, so it's very formal, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And that's what I want to bring, number one, faith that cries mercy. If you want to have real faith, the first quality of real faith is that it is always waiting and listening. Now, there are many times in our spiritual life where we get lost a little bit or where we shut down. We stuff up our ears and say, I don't want to hear it anymore. We don't hear and see what Jesus is saying. And if you want to have faith, you have to unstuff your ears, let it go, let loose, and listen to what God is saying. Listen to the Word of God. Because if you look down, if you put earplugs in your ears, you will miss out on what God has for you in faith. This man as a blind beggar, although he was blind, his other senses were heightened. He could hear the crowd coming and he could hear Jesus' voice teaching on the road and he was listening. So a person who waits pays attention to God's word. I want to ask you this morning and encourage you, are you paying attention to what God's Word says? Talking about the Bible, not about what you feel or what you come up with in your own mind. And, oh, I feel like the Lord is telling me this. And if it doesn't line up with the Scripture, the Lord is not telling you that. But they pay attention to God's Word. And I'm going to tell you, you know, you might say, well, you're reading in between the lines here. But he heard, and as soon as he heard, he began to cry out. But what did he cry out? It gives us an answer that he, being blind, having grown up, going to synagogue, knew what the Messiah was to be, and he uses a very messianic term. He understood and knew who Jesus was more than probably most of the crowd following Jesus. It's a Jesus, Son of David. So a person who waits, listens, and pays attention to God's Word, and they seize an opportunity. Now, I want you to know that word cry out comes from a Greek word, which means it's like the cry of a raven. I don't like the cry of the crows. It's kind of, I don't know, some of you might think spooky. It's not very pleasant to the ear. If I were to sit out and want to relax and be calm, it would not be the crow cawing that I would want to hear. It would want to be like these exotic birds and the song sparrows that have these very extravagant melodies, or, you know, maybe even the catbird who repeats all the other verses, the birds' sounds, but can make some very extravagant noises. This man was crying out. It sounded like a raven. It sounded ugly. It was inarticulate cries, and usually out of fear and out of pain is this Greek word. But the man cries out because he hears Jesus is there. That's faith. That is faith. We have to be listening. Now, some of you right now are not listening. Kathy is not here today. I always put one cat one up for Kathy if you're a cat lover. Is there any other cat lovers here? So I didn't do it in vain. Okay. Cat lover right there. For crying out loud, stop licking yourself and pay attention. Listen to what the word of the Lord has to say. So not only is faith listening and waiting for Jesus. Number two, faith that cries mercy has a biblical view of who Jesus is. Now, this is pretty amazing when you break this down. Is when he heard, he said, Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That tells us two different things there. One, he was so aware of his sinful condition. He was so aware of the fact that he was blind, of course. But he was humbly aware of his own personal condition. Do you know where you're at with the Lord today? Are you ready for Jesus to come back right now? A person that has this faith that cries mercy has a biblical view of Christ. And when we look at the Christ of the Bible, it brings us to the place of, woe is me, I'm a sinner, and I need help from you. I need saving from you, Jesus. I need you to intervene in my life and in my family. I need you to touch those areas of my heart where they've become so hard because of the family baggage that has taken over my life. But not only that, he doesn't say, just cry for mercy. And that word mercy means to show kindness. He's saying, Jesus, I need your kindness. I need your assistance. There's something not going right in my life. I need you. But he has the biblical view of Christ. He recognizes him as the Son of David. As the Son of David, he recognizes who he is and what he can do. Do you know what Jesus can do for you today? Or is he just, well, I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died on the cross. I believe in the rose again. Or do you know what he can do for you right now today? Do you know who he is? He is the Messiah, the Son of David, the one that will come to rule and reign on the earth. He is the one that while terrorists are firing upon Israel, it's not going to do any good because God is going to preserve his people because he's coming back to win his people to him. That's the Messiah. He's all powerful. Now, if you're not familiar, Jesus, Son of David, is that clear messianic title. And Matthew records someone saying this title twice in Matthew 9:27 and 12:23. But in the Gospel of Mark, he only records someone saying it once, other than Jesus in chapter 12, verse 35, who teaches about himself that he is the Son of David. But someone asked the blind and deaf Helen Keller. I don't know if you've watched movies or read books about Helen Keller. They came up to her in only what she could understand had to be Braille. Isn't it terrible to be blind? And this was her response. It's better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing. Faith that is blind sees. Blinded to all the distractions that are around us. Blinded to our own views other than what he learned from the scriptures and synagogue of who Jesus was and is as the Messiah. I remember Mary Lou, who was the matriarch of this church, really. Mary Lou Hinckley has since moved to another state, but she was blind. She lost her eyesight later in life. But this woman, let me tell you, when we would go into those prayer meetings before the service, she knew exactly how God was going to work and do in the service. And I think I've shared this before, and I never forget this, because she was blind with her physical eyes. She could see spiritually because she was in touch with the throne of God, and she was an intercessor and a prayer warrior. She had a correct and a biblical understanding of who Jesus is. Faith that cries mercy has a biblical view of Christ, not what my aunt told me, not what religion tells me, but what God tells me in His Word, who Jesus is. Not what I feel Jesus is, because a lot of times what I feel Jesus to be, then I end up changing Him and watering Him down to be what I want Him to be, right? A lot of us usually water Him down to the point where we want Jesus to become this God in the sky and a genie, and we rub the lamp and we just get whatever our desires want at the moment. He's not that. He's the Messiah to take away our sins, to set us free, to awaken us, to move us towards Him. Just want to insert a few things in here. You're going to need that patch. Remember to sneeze into your arm next time. Make sure you have a correct understanding of who Jesus is, because if you don't, you will end up harming yourself. You think you can see, but you can't. Number three. Faith that cries mercy perseveres in spite of competing voices. Now, I want to tell you, when God comes and begins to build faith within you, guess what's going to happen? Exactly what happened to this guy here. Look in verse 48. Many rebuked him. And that word rebuked was to chide, to reprove, to charge sharply. So they were not just saying, hey, guys, settle down. Stop calling out. Have mercy, Son of David. They were basically saying, shut up! Just when you start on your journey of faith with God, that's when the devil comes. That's when he uses maybe family members or friends or people around us to say, don't believe that. Shut up. Stay in your beggar's corner. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do with your Christian faith, is to keep you in the beggar's corner. But notice what the guy did. This is the amazing thing. See, a person of faith is not fazed or discouraged by the dissenting negative voices. They told him to say it, be silent, but he cried out all the more, "This raven-like sound, Son of David, have mercy on me." He did not let up. Jesus was teaching. The crowd was gathering. And people were saying, shut up. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. He was not even fazed by the voices around him. And if you want to have this kind of faith, you have to shut out your own voice. You have to shut out the voices of others. You have to shut out the voice of the world. Shut out the voice of politics. Shut off the voices that are negative and that put you down and that tell you to stop having faith in Jesus. Oh, just come on. You might as well. Look what happened in their life when they gave their life to Christ. You might as well come out and drink. You might as well do drugs. You might as well give in to all these things in your life. You might as well just keep looking at pornography. You might as well just keep having sex outside of marriage. You might as well keep doing these things. But when God comes and calls, we have to shut out those voices and say no. And that's exactly what the man said. He did not give up his resolve to say, have mercy, Son of David, I need you. A person of faith cries out even more when there's competing voices. And they confess the truth when their faith is attacked. And what truth was this guy confessing? He kept saying, Son of David, Messiah. But you know what he was also confessing? I'm a sinner and I'm in need of mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. That's perseverance. Now, I rented a track loader once. This is not a track loader, but it just reminds me of that. Somehow, would you believe you could get a track loader up in a tree? I did it. Somehow. Michael comes out, how'd you do this? We're trying to get the thing out. Oh no, they need to come and collect this rental material. And somehow I was trying to push down this tree and it went up the tree and then the tree caught it and I couldn't get down out of the tree. But sometimes we feel like that in our life, just as this guy did when they were saying, shut up. He just kept on persevering, no matter how deep the mud gets. And that is the trick of the devil. Because when you give your life to Christ and you surrender and say no to drugs and no to all these things that captivate you in your life, things are going to get a little bit messy. And then the devil's going to say, see? What happens when you give your life to Jesus? Things are messy. You can't get out of it now. But the blind man said, no, have mercy on me, Son of David. Have mercy on me, Son of David. Have mercy on me. He was confessing the truth of who Jesus was, and he was believing and not watering down who he was. I'm a sinner and I'm in need of mercy. See, these are the two tactics the enemy uses to steal and destroy and corrupt your faith. Number one is attempting to get you to somehow downplay or water down your true condition of how much you need Jesus. If he can get you to say just a little bit, you can make it on your own. Faith goes out the window. If he can get you to just I'm a sinner, but I'm not really that bad. I'm not that desperate. And then all those competing things come and we easily get taken down. The second attempt, or the deceitful enemy uses, is to get you to forget, replace, or water down who Jesus is. But yet the man kept saying, Jesus, Son of David. Son of David. Messiah. If the devil can say, there's other messiahs out there that can help you feel good, like this relationship here, or this bottle here, or this pill here, or this there, whatever it is. Faith goes out the window. Refuse. True faith refuses to water down who Jesus is. Now, look at Bartimaeus' faith here. He was a guy that was just a beggar, low on the totem pole, but yet he kept crying out, What did Jesus say in Mark 10, 15? He says, you can't come into the kingdom of God unless you come like a child. That's what it sounded like, this raven-like voice. Have mercy on me. He's repeating himself. Have mercy on me, son of David. Have mercy on me. Shut up! I'm getting tired of hearing this! He came like a child. And then in Matthew 11, 12, Jesus said, from the days of John and Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent take it by force. This is what he talks about. His trait of forcefulness. All these voices coming at him all at once. Have mercy on me, son of David. Have mercy on me, son of David. The devil's, bam, you're no good. Have mercy on me, son of David. The devil sends this lie over towards you. Oh, if you give in this once, you know, you can ask forgiveness tomorrow and it'll be fine. Have mercy on me, son of David. Forceful. Tenacious. In spite of being a beggar with all these religious people around, he continues to yell out for Christ. But then there was also a hunger that was driving him because he knew who Jesus was. He knew he was the Messiah. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. If you're in a place where you're stuck, are you hungry? Are you hungry for the Lord like this guy was? Do you know how deep your need is for the Savior? And do you know who Jesus is? If we did, we would just come yearning to God like a child hungering. You know, when you're in the grocery store and you see an infant with his pacifier or his favorite toy and throw it across, for some whatever reason, across the room. And we do that with our faith. We do that with our relationship with Jesus. And then what happens? And they reaching out their hands and they will not be consoled until you go pick the thing up 5 minutes later. Isn't that like our Christian life? You know, Jesus just gets a hold of us and we have faith and we know that He is the only one that can satisfy. And then we like, I'll trade it for this, Jesus. I'll trade it for music, or I'll trade it for food, or I'll trade it for drugs or sex or whatever. They were like, oh, Jesus, He's always there. It says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. They will be filled. Which leads us to number four. Faith that cries mercy springs. Literally springs. And I love the language of the text here in verse 49 and 50. It says, all of a sudden, Jesus stopped. Now remember, Jesus was on the way to the cross in Jerusalem. It says, Jesus stopped. And He said, call him. Jesus, with this huge crowd of thousands of people, stopped for one beggar. And He'll stop for you. For you, for you, for you. Oh. Love the beauty of this. And notice when Jesus calls, when He grants us faith to believe, we don't just sit there. It says the man springs. You didn't know the word spring was in there. In the Bible, he stopped, he says, call him. And then he threw off his cloak and he sprang up and came to Jesus. Now, this would be very unusual for a beggar, or especially someone blind, to just ditch his cloak. Because you think in that crowd of people on the streets, it's somebody's going to steal it or he's not going to be able to find it again. And it was his security. He gets up and he springs up. They said, take heart, be of good courage, be of good cheer. And he springs up. In other words, he changes his position and rises up. Now, I know a lot of people that are stuck in their walks with the Lord. I keep trying to serve Jesus, but then I keep going back to this sin over and over and over. I'm trying to follow Jesus, but I keep going back. I keep going back. But when faith comes, when God calls, we spring up. In other words, we have to change our position. In fact, Isn't that the definition of insanity that we all know? It's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result to happen in our lives. He does something different. He springs up, leaves his cloak behind, and comes to Jesus. And I think as people were sharing during our joys and concerns this morning, when the Holy Spirit calls, spring to action. When He calls, don't wait. There's been times in my life when I've waited and I just sat there. Be like Superdog here. Spring up. Now that had to be planned just right, right? Now either Jonathan Pertu is in the hallway or there's a real dog outside. There is a real dog outside. Listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. I could have done it better myself. Faith that cries mercy springs into action at the call of Christ. And just to have a dog bark just at that moment, if you didn't hear it online, that's what we heard. Cornered. But here's what we do. God gives us the faith to believe, right? This is what I do. My wife, we probably wouldn't use it, but neither do Brad and Carol. But they have one. You have faith. My wife has faith, but, I can't say that about her. Buddy over here has faith, but he doesn't use it, so I don't have to use mine either. Just because he was the only beggar, all these dignified people that was yelling like a madman, have mercy on me, son. He sprang to action with a call. Will you do that? And this leads us to the conclusion today. Faith that cries mercy believes without seeing. Jesus says in John 20:29, when Thomas the doubter, after Jesus resurrected from the dead, comes to him and says, I have to touch your wounds and your hands to see if it's really you. Jesus said, blessed are those who believe without seeing. Faith that cries mercy believes without seeing. Notice the position of the guy and how he responds. In verse 50, he throws off his cloak. He gives up his insecurities and all of that. He comes to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, oh, what a beautiful question. What do you want me to do for you? What, in other words, in the Greek, do you delight, will take pleasure in if I do for you today? See, faith that believes without seeing knows exactly what it wants. Sometimes we pray general prayers, right? Say, God, you know, just be with us, these people over here. But when we get specific, that's faith. We start praying, God, for the very next meal on my table, for my child to have faith in Christ and give up rebellion. Get specific, because true faith knows exactly. And the blind man already knew. He said, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And by that word, recover, we might have the idea that maybe this guy probably was not blind from birth, because he says recover. He probably had his sight and then understood what it was like to lose it. And so Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Jesus didn't even have to touch him. Because faith that believes, he was just confident that Jesus was going to do it. He was just a matter of fact. I know he's the Messiah, and he does Messiah things. That's it. That settles it. Faith that believes without seeing. Faith that follows Jesus to the cross. And notice this here. You'll miss it if you read over it. It says he recovered his sight and he followed him on the way, or on the road. Where he was going? To Jerusalem to die on the cross. And you can be sure and know that this Bartimaeus probably saw Jesus walking with a cross to Calvary. He witnessed, probably with the disciples, the resurrection from the dead. He saw it all with his eyes that he opened up. But faith that believes follows. Because not long after that, Bartimaeus became a very strong pillar in the church as God established his church here on earth. Faith that cries mercy believes without seeing. So let's review. Faith that truly cries mercy. And I want to pray that God will grant you real faith today and strengthen your faith. And I always pray all the time. I find myself praying, Lord, help my unbelief. Because there's so many competing voices. But faith that cries mercy pays attention, has a biblical viewpoint of Jesus. They know He's the Messiah. Is not fazed by discouraging distraction. I'm going to keep yelling, have mercy on me, Son of David. In spite of the world telling me to shut up. In spite of my own emotions or my own mind telling me to shut up. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies in that. So faith not only is not fazed by discouraging distractions, it responds immediately to Christ's call. It springs into action. It trusts in Christ completely. It's who He is. It's what He does. It's what I've learned from the Bible. It's what I've learned about Him. And this is just His nature. I believe it, and I am going to move on. You might be here today and need a boost of your faith. He's willing to give it to you this morning. But He invites you to come as a beggar, as a child. He invites you to come and ask and to tell Him specifically what is going on in your life right now, because He's more than ready to come and to show you the mercy. I want to invite the worship team to come as we close today. Father, we, as humans, get so bogged down and distracted by the negative lies of the evil one, by the lies that we make up in our head. And Father, I pray right now all over in this room, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that You would set free hearts, those that are stuck in a rut, those that are stuck in a box, that You might grant them the faith that this beggar had. And oh Lord Jesus, we just pray for an increase or spiritual growth of our faith. Well, really, it's not our faith. It's the faith that You give. You called the blind man to You. You're calling people all over to You in this room today. Calling some to leave behind their cloaks or crutches. Lord Jesus, You're calling some to leave behind that one thing that they really love for the sake of the gospel. Calling some to greater commitment to serve in the Lord's church. Some to missions. Some to evangelism. Some to cut off unhealthy ties and unhealthy relationships. Lord, I pray for that faith today. If you're here today and you just want to say, you know, Lord, I want an increase of faith. Lord, I have a need. Be humble like the beggar. Come down to this altar. Say, have mercy on me, Son of David. Lord, I pray Your blessing on each person that's here. Thank You for the power of Your gospel, Lord. Thank You for Your word in Jesus' name.